The last time we were studying this, we began in chapter 5, and we were talking about the importance of being imitators of God. And that's what Paul talks about here. Remember, we were discussing the whole thing that oftentimes children do, the copycat game, and that kind of bothers us. But God really wants us to imitate Him. He wants us to copy Him and be more like Him. And then we discussed, beginning in verse 3, where Paul mentions several things. He gives us a list of behaviors where he says these things should, there should not even be a hint of these things among you at all. Okay, so we talk about the idea of something that is a hint, not even a trace of it. Okay, and again, you go back and you think about people that, for instance, have peanut allergies and all the extremes that are taken and signs put up anywhere where there are peanuts to warn them because they cannot have even a hint, okay, of peanut, even the odor of it will cause some to have a lot of problems. So it's that kind of an idea that he says not even a hint of these things. And then he lists several things here. Behaviors that we need to make sure that we get out of our lives, okay? There's some of those, and we talked about some of those that we oftentimes consider to be the big sins, okay? But then there's other things that we don't really think too much about. Like he mentions coarse joking, foolish talk, things of that nature. So we need to, no matter what those things are, we need to get rid of. And then the last thing we were looking at last time, verse 7, is he talks about all these things. In fact, that God's wrath is going to be go against those who do these things. He says, therefore, do not be partners with them. Okay? We have to be careful about even who we associate with, who we partner with. All right? That's one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul tells us do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Okay? That whole idea of yoking together is the same thing here where it talks about partnership, where you are joined together with someone else, okay, where that person has influence over you, okay? You have influence over them. But here's the important thing. Whatever one does or is seen doing, does what?
Reflects on the other one.
It reflects on the other one. You see? So even if you're not, let's say we've got business partners and one's dishonest, the other's honest. Well, the dishonesty of the one is going to reflect on the other one. You see? And the honesty of the one oftentimes won't overshadow the dishonesty of the other. But it does work the other way. People will assume if one's dishonest, they're both dishonest. You see? So it's that kind of thing. Don't even be partners with these kinds of things. All right? Chuck, do you have a comment a second ago?
Yeah, because I wish I could remember the name of the company. But I forget how I came to learn of this stuff. Construction company, small construction company, but they were all Christians.
Okay.
They would start their work day in the yard with a morning prayer.
Yeah.
That's the kind of a place I would love to associate with.
And yeah.
Okay. Instead of the worldly endeavors. But again, I've heard of that. I wish I could tell you the construction company. This was years back. But again, how encouraging that was to me that yes, those exist. Rare,
yeah,
but they do exist. And so how blessed and wonderful it would be to work with fellow Christians in whatever endeavor.
Oh,
that'd
absolutely.
Nice. Oh.
Makes a lot of difference.
Oh, my.
Bobby Goodwin, that owns Roberts Awning and Signs, have a Bible study with them on Thursday mornings, and they provide a Bible to every one of their employees. And every one of their employees know they are welcome and invited to come to the Bible study if they want to. Now, we had some that were coming, and they kind of, drifted off and so forth. We still have the Bible study, but, you know, that's an important part of what they do, is they make sure that every employee that they have has access to a Bible, and that they know we have a Bible study on Thursday mornings at 6:30, and they are welcome to come and be a part of that. And that does help create, you know, a different kind of an environment, you know, within a business. So yeah, we need to make sure that we are partnering with those who are trying to follow Christ and not those who are going to be a bad influence, okay? Now, beginning in verse 8, let's continue on in this part of the study, and let's talk about were, okay? It's important that we understand what he's saying here next, and the word were, okay, is an important part of that, okay? Because the word were in the English language is what? It is past tense. And that's important for us to understand, all right? It is past tense. Mm-hmm. And God is all about letting go of the past and overcoming the past, all right? And so as Paul begins in this particular part, he says, "For you were once darkness." Okay? Now, again, keep in mind, who is he writing this letter to? Okay, he's writing to, go back over to chapter 1 here, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. But he's telling them, you were once darkness, acknowledging where they had come from, which is the same place that every single one of us has come from, which is where? Okay, specifically, I'm looking for one three-letter word.
Sin,
exactly. That's where we all come from, you see. You were once darkness. You were that. Okay? That's the past. Now, he says, you are light in the Lord. Okay? What you were should have no relevance or bearing on what you are now. Okay? You have been forgiven for that. The past is over. We cannot live based on what we were. Right? We need to focus on what we are now. Satan wants to keep us focused on what we were. Okay, where we came from. All right? And so he tries to use our past against us to hold us in bondage. All right? Thus the importance and the significance of Paul's words here, saying, but now you are light in the Lord. And then, not only are you that, but there's another call here, okay? Basically live as children of the light. Okay? So that's who you are, so live like it. Okay? Make sure you're living like that. Right? And then he gives another list. Okay? Now this list is very different from the list that we saw earlier, right? This list has to do with the things that are the good things of God, okay? Where he says, the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Okay? The fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So we need to be, since that's what we are and who we are, we need to be living like that's who we are. Okay? Not living like we don't belong here. Okay? We need to make sure we remember whose we are. Okay? It's not a matter of who we are. Okay? And oftentimes the world kind of gets caught up in that whole thing, doesn't it? You know, it's like, you know who I am? We had an assistant police chief when I worked in the city police department years ago. His name was Major Mapes, and Major Mapes was hung up on who he was. And he was always concerned about making sure that everybody knew who he was. And he would just come out and say, do you know who I am? You know? And, you know, that's because that's the way the world does things, okay? Who we are is not the significant thing here. Whose we are is what's really important. You see, we belong to Christ. And we were talking earlier about the fact that, we are King's kids. Okay? We belong to the King. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. And that's who we are. We need to act like it. Mm-hmm. You see? And that's what he's trying to encourage us to do here. Make sure you live like who you are, whose you are. Okay? So, in other words, behave that way. Okay, Kathy?
I love Ray's prayers, always addressing King Jesus.
Right.
And when I hear that, I feel that I am special because as Jesus, my King, I'm his daughter,
yeah,
and the King's kids, and I just want to do what pleases him.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to make him happy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah. And we need to understand in that relationship that we have as being children of the King, you know, what possibilities does that open up for us? You know, so often we tend to look at it, again, oftentimes based on where we come from. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. And, you know, we look at the impossibilities, but when we look at ourselves and understand we're King's kids, mm-hmm, okay, then we begin to start recognizing the possibilities. Because our Father is the King. Okay?
Yeah.
He owns a cattle on a thousand hills.
All right.
Okay? There is nothing he can't do.
He owns the hills.
Yeah, he even owns the hills. Right, you know? And so, you know, that should cause us to be encouraged, especially when we're facing struggles in our lives, because, again, those are the times when Satan wants to take us and remind us of where we come from, and we need to be encouraged to remember whose we are. You say, Chuck?
It's kind of like that transition, if I could use this as one example. I know it doesn't fit every circumstance, but the moment when we completed our vows and then we are introduced as Mr. and Mrs. Masaldua, mm-hmm, that's the first time that acknowledgement, that change,
right,
happened and it's acknowledged. And so my last name, True, is the same, but now I am known as Mr. and Mrs.
Right.
You know, so that changed. And so when we come up out of the water in baptism and we're created anew, our names are Christian.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that makes that transition for us right there, help to realize that we do belong to somebody.
Absolutely.
That our name is changed.
Absolutely.
We are changed.
Yeah. And to carry that analogy a little bit further, and remember we talked and studied a little while back about being the bride of Christ. You know, that once we are become the bride, okay, part of the bride, so like when you two got married and Kathy changed her name, now she's got to start acting like someone who's what?
Married.
She's married to you. She can't live the single lifestyle anymore. Neither can you, by the way. But in other words, in this analogy, it's okay, Christ is, he's not changing at all. We're the ones who need to change and change the way we start living,
right,
okay? And so that person who gets married can no longer live as a single person. Now they have to acknowledge the new relationship and start living that way. And that's kind of what he's saying here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're children of the light. Start living that way. Make sure you're living that way, you see? Wesley, you had your hand up a moment ago.
Yeah, well, this portion here makes me reflect and think back on some past lessons that we have had about how some things hinder some Christians from reaching out to other people, right, and, you know, what hinders people,
right,
from trying to do the Lord's work, you know, why they don't,
right,
express themselves more. And it's not so much as people would think that because you are Christ's child that you have to, so to speak, get up on a soapbox,
right,
every day and tell somebody, oh, you need to go to church, you need to do this, you need to do that, look at me, I'm
right,
this, that, other. It's more of the way you carry yourself,
yeah,
and what you do, because you never know who's watching. And I dare say, it's always someone watching from afar off.
Yeah.
More so to criticize. But if they see your characteristics, then that would set you apart from what others do.
Right.
You know? And but in that study that we had at that time, it was what hinders people from doing what they should be doing as a Christian.
Right, yeah. And, you know, the key, the operative word here is living. You know, he says live. So remember, we've talked about that, said that is how we're supposed to be conducting ourselves on a regular basis. There's a lot of difference between someone who maybe sees us do a single good thing every once in a while. You know, we come, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church, you know, but the rest of our life is the darkness. Versus that's how we consistently live. And, yeah, we mess up from time to time, and they may see that, but we can come back and say, hey, you're right, I messed up. But that they know that's not how we normally live. And that's the difference between those two, you see. We need to make sure. So we need to be sharing or bearing the fruit, okay, of the light, all right? The fruit of the light, all right? Remember, Jesus tells us that we are supposed to bear fruit, right? Now, most of the time, a lot of people think that most of the time when it's talking about bearing fruit, it's talking about making more Christians. That's not what it refers to, okay? When Jesus talks about bearing fruit, primarily, he's talking about bearing the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Or in this case, he's specifically talking about the light, the fruit of the light, okay? And what is that?
Goodness, righteousness, and truth.
Yeah, so those are the things that we need to be bearing in our lives, okay? Just like a tree bears fruit, people see the fruit, they partake of it, we need to be doing the same thing. That's the fruit we need to be bearing. The people need to see in us, and they want to partake of that fruit. You see, that's what he's talking about here, okay? So, then the next thing that he says here, verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord. How do we do that?
Read the Word.
Do what?
Read the Word.
Read the Word?
I was saying read the Bible.
See, okay, all right. We need to read the Word. What else do we need to do? To find out what pleases the Lord.
Ask
him. Oh. Okay? We need to be praying about it. Okay? More than anything, what we need to do, because this is what will motivate us to read the Word and to pray, we need to be seeking what pleases the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay? We need to be looking for it, searching for it. If we don't search for it, we're not going to find it. Okay? We've got to be searching for what pleases the Lord. That's our motivation to find it. Okay? We're going to find what we're looking for. Okay? I have oftentimes told people, if you want to find reasons to criticize me for something, you won't have any problem finding stuff. Okay? There's stuff there to criticize me over. You don't have to look very far. But if you want to find things that are positive, okay, I'd like to think there's a little bit of that in there too, okay? You can find that. So when it comes to people in our relationships, what we're looking for is what we're going to find. Okay? You want to find a reason to gripe and complain about somebody and criticize them, you can find that. But if you want to find reasons to compliment people and so forth, you can find that also. See, it really depends on what are we looking for. Amen. And this is the same thing. Are we looking to please the Lord? Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who are not looking to please the Lord. They're spending most of their time criticizing the Lord. Okay? Why does God allow all these bad things to happen? Why doesn't God stop this? Why is there so much sin? Why is there death? Why are little children this, that, and all these other things that people criticize God for? When, by the way, most of those things are criticisms that should be directed at us. Okay? But again, it's what are you looking for, Ray?
One of the things people need to, I think people really need to stop criticizing the Lord. The devil is the prince of this world.
Mm-hmm.
He's the prince of this world. He does things.
Oh, yeah.
That's like these folks walking around shooting and gunning, gang banging. That's the devil.
Yep.
Hey, God sees all of it. But is he going to stop it? In his time, he will. I don't believe that we can criticize, should criticize God for any of this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not going
so
to.
So often, we bring stuff on ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
That's very unfortunate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can lose your life because of it.
Yeah. Sometimes, but that's life.
Mm-hmm.
That's life.
The way the world is
but
functioning.
Yeah.
God has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stick with his plan.
Amen.
I don't have one.
Yeah.
The only plan I have is to follow him.
Follow him. That's right.
That's the only one I have. And I'm going to try to make sure that I don't be making some of these stupid mistakes. I made enough of them in my life. I don't need to be making any more if I can have it. But I need to look first to God.
That's right. That's
right. So he can help me whatever problem I have,
exactly.
Take care of it for me.
Yeah, he does. He does. You know, somebody once said, you know, as people are asking and saying to God and praying, you know, God, why are you allowing this to happen or that to happen? And someone suggested, said, well, God's responsibility, why are you doing it? Why are you allowing it to happen? Why don't you do something about it?
Yeah.
You see? And there's so much of this that we absolutely could do something about, and we're not. You see? So to blame God for all the bad stuff going on in the world is totally and completely misguided. So we need to be looking at and seeking out what pleases God. Okay? What pleases Him? And mostly what pleases God is what? What pleases God more than anything?
Obedience.
Obedience.
Yeah.
Obedience to Him. Okay? More than the fat of rams and bulls, right?
Absolutely.
More than burnt offerings and sacrifices, what God desires is obedience. You see? So that's what we need to be seeing. We want to find out what pleases Him, do what He says to do.
Amen.
Okay? Now, then the next thing that He says, here's another one of those statements that goes along with don't be partners with all the evil that we were talking about a little while ago. He says, verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. And notice the contrast here, okay? The fruit of the light are these things, okay? But the fruitless deeds of darkness, okay, are the bad things that he's already outlined, okay? One of the things, and again, you see this kind of terminology, and you look at the teachings of Jesus, okay? What happens to trees that are not bearing fruit? You cut them down and you throw them in the fire, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, remember the story of the fig tree, the withered fig tree, okay? What was the problem there? And this is an important lesson for us as children of the light to make sure we understand. What do you remember about that story? The fig tree is there, and it is described as being what? Jesus saw a fig tree
in
leaf. Okay, that means what? It was blooming. In other words, it was the way I term this is it was advertising. Okay. People of that day, when they saw a fig tree in leaf, they understood this tree is going to have figs on it. Okay? It's, in a sense, it's advertising, I've got figs. But on closer examination, there's no figs. Okay, so what's the problem there?
False advertising.
It's unfruitful, but what else is it doing?
False advertising.
False advertising. It's claiming one thing, but it's doing something completely different. You see? And so that's the same thing here. The fruitless deeds of darkness. Don't pretend like you belong to Christ and you're advertising, yes, I'm a Christian, and all the time you're bearing the fruitless deeds of darkness. Mm-hmm. You see, we can look good from afar, but how do we look on closer examination? Okay? That's one of the things we need to make sure we keep in mind. That people don't see us from afar and go, oh, yeah, that's a Christian there. And they get up close and they look and they're going, there's some rotten fruit there. You see, or no fruit at all. We need to make sure that we are, that we're bearing the fruit of the light in our lives and people can see that, okay? He goes on then to say that it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Mm-hmm. Okay? Oh, I'm sorry. Ray, go ahead. Thank you for pointing that out to me.
There was a brother in Christ who it was somewhere, I don't know where it was. But anyway, there was a young lady that was supposed to be a Christian. Oh, say that woman was cussing up a storm.
Yep.
What is going on with her? You know.
Yeah.
And that'll tell us something. We can't go around saying anything out of our mouth. Mm-hmm. And then you want to try to say, well, No, you're not acting like it.
Yeah.
That's a terrible thing. The brother that told me that story, it had been long, been bad, but he was one good man.
Yeah.
I loved him tremendously.
Well, it does make a difference as to...
It makes a difference.
Yeah, what are we advertising? Chuck?
Before verse 12, it says, but expose them. What? He's speaking of the church and
yes.
All Christians
yeah.
in
yes.
the church.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's telling us to expose them.
Do what now?
He's telling us to expose
yes. them. Yes. When we have people who are supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ and they're bringing shame upon the church mm-hmm. by their behavior, we need to expose that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You see? We don't need to be sitting quiet and allow it to go on. Okay, for the very reason we were talking earlier, Wes was bringing it out, a lot of people are looking. They go, oh, yeah, you know, yes, that church, you know, and they focus on the bad things that they see because somebody is given a bad reputation. That's why in Matthew, Jesus tells us, if your brother sins, do what?
You go to him and show him his fault
just between the two of you.
Absolutely.
If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. If he doesn't listen, what do?
Back with somebody.
You take somebody with you as witness, so the matter may be established by two or three witnesses. If he doesn't listen to you then what do? You tell it to the church.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't listen to the church, what do? You treat him like you would a pagan or a tax collector, and people in Jesus' day knew that on that meant you have nothing to do with this person whatsoever.
Absolutely.
We refer to that as disfellowshipping someone, okay? Yeah. Disfellowshipping, that word is very mild compared to what the Jews of Jesus' day understood, okay? You talk about treating them like a tax collector,
And they hated tax collectors.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's not like, you know, just don't talk to them anymore. It's like, you know, they're ostracized from you, okay?
That is the process. Again, we need to all remember that there is a process according to the scriptures, not according to our feelings. And go back to the very beginning that when you see a brother or sister in an error or a situation, there's a lot of reasons why God mandates. It's not an option. right. brothers. It's mandated you will go talk to them first, not to go and gossip about them and then right. go talk to them. Because again, mm-mm. that is not according to God's plan, and right. you've done so much more damage to remedy or to rectify the situation than and to go do the right thing.
Yeah.
And, again, mm-hmm. we now know what the right thing is, that there is a process.
Right.
And that if sometimes someone approaches you and believes or believes a situation, that's why it's important that when they come to you, of course, we pray about it before, because you know that is a serious situation. But you may have misunderstood, and that's why the talk is so very yeah. necessary yeah. right there. Oh, no, let me explain. Oh, okay, now I understand, you know. So there, see how it's remedied and then right. corrected before and it's just a simple misunderstanding. And so, again, we thank God for everything that's in the Scriptures,
yes.
and again, for the opportunity for us to know what we need to know in order that we can do the right thing. So we know, now we know what right looks like.
Yeah.
Don't gossip. Don't talk behind them. Talk to them.
And that should be our goal, is to restore them. Okay, if that's not our goal, then our motives are wrong to begin with. But you know, in this particular thing, what I brought up for those of you who are here Wednesday night, and I shared with you some things that are going on in the Lord's Church and the Brotherhood concerning the homosexual agenda, and we've got preachers and elders and other people that are going, oh well, we need to kind of. You know, we need to be treating these people with respect, and you know, which is right, but we need to accept them, and you know, and so forth. And I shared with you several comments from some of these folks who are saying, oh, I'm on a journey, re-looking at some of these things and so on. You know, God's already decided what those things are. Absolutely. Those are the fruitless deeds of darkness. Okay, and what does He say here? Have nothing to do with them and expose them, okay? So again, we're talking about in the church, all right? So those folks that are, within the church that are trying to, make this like it's just no big deal, we need to accept it and so forth. No, we need to expose that for what it is. It is sin. Sin, period. Mm-hmm. Okay, Chuck?
Absolutely.
I know we've all experienced this, but when you walking in the light and you're living, you expose sin with His presence within you when you are around people. You sit on the golf course, people
oh, yeah.
apologizing for cussing. And just, I don't know, I'm thinking about how it just comes with our being soldiers. That's,
yes.
Okay, wear it, His Spirit is in you. And we expose their sin, and sometimes that can cause trouble. Sometimes people will. I've had somebody, cuss, and then they apologize, and that's yeah. a good indicator right there.
Yes,
for us.
Yeah, and that's what in the next verse that he's going to be talking about. That's really what he's emphasizing is this idea of this darkness is exposed by the light. Mm-hmm. Look at what he says here. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. So, Jesus has told yeah. us that we are the light of the world, right?
Yeah.
Okay? And what are we supposed to do with the light that we are? We put it on a stand so it gives light to everyone in the house, right?
Yeah.
What does he say next?
If you hide it under a bushel, you can't be seen.
Do what now?
If the light is hidden under a bushel.
Right. If we don't hide it under a bushel, we put it on a stand so it gives light to everyone in the house, so that what?
Everybody
they may see your good deeds and praise our Father in heaven.
Amen.
You see? So that, you're right. That, you see, is how these things are exposed. When people are looking at us, as we're living as children of the light, which is what we're supposed to be, then yes, that does expose darkness. People sometimes get uncomfortable around us, because they know. And that's as it should be. Okay? Let me put it this way. If someone is behaving really badly around us, and they're not, concerned or kind of, you know, uncomfortable about that, maybe there's something wrong with our light.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You say? Maybe there's something wrong with our light. Okay, Chuck and then Wes over here.
We are soldiers, and we have to stand
yes.
And be ready to serve if need be. If they question us, we'll give them the answer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But these preachers are caving. They're
yes,
cowards.
They are. Mm-hmm.
They're folding. It is awkward for them. They don't know what's going to happen with their church or they're scared.
Yeah, because they'd rather be popular. They don't want to lose their job, you know, and those kind of things. That's why they're doing it.
They're going to lose their soul.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And who amongst all the people ought to know that better than preachers?
Exactly. Absolutely.
But they don't. They don't care. They're more concerned about their jobs and their security there than they are about standing up for the truth. You see? And I think you folks know me well enough to know that's not going to happen with me. Okay? I'm going to stand for the truth. I've already been fired from 3 jobs already as preaching, so because I stood for the truth. God's taking care of me.
That's right.
I'm not going to worry about it. But unfortunately, there are too many of them out there that are. And that's why we see this kind of thing happening even in the Lord's church. We like to think that the Lord's church is, you know, insulated from that because we, you know, we typically stand on the truth of God's word. But that's why I shared that article with you all Wednesday night, because it shows that even in the Lord's church, people are caving into that darkness, you say?
We got to stand too.
Each individual person.
Whether we're a preacher or not, we got to stand.
Yeah.
We're all going to be judged.
Yeah. So when we're standing on the golf course on the tee box and somebody's telling their course joking or telling dirty jokes or whatever, you know, they don't know who we are, but we need to make sure, hey, you know, we're not laughing at that, we're not joining it, and we're not participating or whatever, you see. Otherwise, they don't see any difference with us. I'm not ashamed that the guys at the golf course I play golf with know that I'm a preacher, and I'm glad that when, you know, they let something slip, they recognize it. And maybe, you know, maybe somewhere down the road that might kind of click a little bit for them, and they, you know, maybe I need to think about. Because sometimes I tell them, like, you kiss your wife with those same lips. And I can do that with these guys, you know, and so forth. But, you know, again, we have to stand up. We've got to be willing to say, hey, wait a minute. Wesley and then Chuck over here.
Yeah, I'm just going to just chime in with the same thing as what I was saying earlier. One of the things that's, again, that hinders us as people, you know, we want to please man. We want to fit in with the crowd rather than to be known as, oh, he's different.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got going on with that. That's what we have to recognize. It's not so much you got to go out and try to preach to people, just the way in which you act.
Yeah.
The way you carry yourself.
Exactly. And we got to remember who it is that saves us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's not that person that we're afraid is not going to like us anymore. You know, if we stand up for the truth, they're not going to judge us in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if we don't stand up for the truth, then you know what? We're going to suffer the same fate they are for the behavior they're doing.
Amen.
And we need to understand that.
Yeah.
You know, are you willing to part with the comforts of the world like Moses did by standing for the truth, or are you just kind of going to get absorbed into the world and the corruption of it and so forth? All right?
My wife and I just laughing, thinking about something that Constance once was at a job, and a lady was trying to, one of her coworkers was trying to get her to be on her side with her in her argument, and she made the comment, if you don't stand for what you believe in, what are you going to do, Constance? And she didn't know that she was wanting her to say you'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
And Constance said, you'll be sitting. She didn't know.
Chuck, you had a comment a moment ago.
Well, Matthew 12, verse 30, in the words of our Lord, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. That's plain.
No, absolutely. Charlotte?
But you were saying at first, like, if, you know, you are around the darkness, and if our light is not shining, there's something wrong with our light. Not all the time it's us. is those people who just don't care. Right. They don't care that you're the light. They don't care that you you fall in. So that's when you have to step away your light start dimming because you are around. Because I know there's a lot of family members. I'm not going away. I love you. But your light is too dark for me, and you don't care what I stand for.
Yeah.
You don't even care what I say about God. So I'm going to have to leave you alone.
Yeah.
And when you decide that you want to listen, I'm here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, again, what did Jesus tell his disciples when he went out? If they don't accept, you shake the dust off your feet and move on.
That's right.
We need to do that.
Yeah.
And also, too, in his own words, again, this is not secondhand or it was from his own mouth. He's saying, "You got to love me more than your daughter, father, mother." You know,
absolutely.
A lot of people have a hard time emotionally.
It is.
They say, "Well, that's my son. That's my daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
That's what has God said?
Yeah.
You are Christian. You are mine.
Right.
First.
Yeah.
Period."
Well, that was one of the things brought out in that article that one of the guys was saying. You know, if you remember. Talking about how it's interesting how a lot of, preachers and elders and, church leaders' position on the homosexual lifestyle has changed since, their daughters or sons have become involved in that lifestyle and so forth. Now, all of a sudden, it's okay now and so forth, perfect example of that.
But again, that's the scripture. We all know it. I know my brother said that, but again, that's where us, in whatever position we have, influence over our loved ones, whether it's daughter-in-law, son, especially us. Mm-hmm. You call. That's sin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Son, that is sin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You denounce the Lord, that is sin.
Yeah.
That is, and again, it is very serious that this kind of behavior is not acceptable to us, especially God.
Yeah.
Nor is it condoned, nor do we think it's okay.
Right.
Not that it's wrong.
Nor am I going to participate in it.
Right.
Or encourage you to stay in that position.
Yeah.
No.
I know I've told some of you this before, but, one of my younger sisters who was a member of the church at this time was dating a married man. And, this man had said, he was going to divorce his wife and they were going to get married. And she called me. I kind of heard about what was going on. She called me and asked me, she said, "I'll give you a choice. You can either give me away at the wedding," because she said, "We're, whatever the guy's name is, we're getting married. You can either give me away or you can do the wedding for us." And I said, "I'll give you a choice." I said, "You either not have anything to do with this man anymore, or I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to hear from you, you're not welcome in my home. I don't have nothing to do with you until you decide to stop being involved with this man. It's sinful what you're doing." And not long after that, I don't know, because I wasn't in contact with her, but that whole thing kind of fell apart and so forth. But that's what we got to be willing to do. I thought it was kind of, bold of her to even ask me that to begin with. But
I know it's almost time for this to end. But
yeah, we're over time, actually.
Yeah,
but
we still have to show them love. And
yes.
I think that's where they get it confused that we don't love them. Because that's the first thing they say. You don't love me. Or you don't understand.
Right.
No, I don't understand you going against God,
Right.
And I love you, but I don't love what you're doing.
Yeah. And my response to folks when they say that is, no, the reason that I'm telling you what I'm telling you is because
I love you,
and I don't want you to be lost eternally.
Right.
And this is tough love.
That's exactly what it is. Okay, we're out of time. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
We're going to pick up.
We'll pick up here next week.